Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You may have your seats here this beautiful day. Worship team, you may have your seats as well. Praise the Lord. How many are excited to be in the house of the Lord here on this beautiful Sunday morning? Amen. Amen. At the Run for Hope presentation, amen. I pray that you all would get involved in whatever you can do to help us get finances all around the world to be able to facilitate what our founder has in his heart that's been given by God, you know, in raising up VO works all around the world, amen. And for the finances to be there, to be able to do what really is in the heart of God that's been given to our founder, Pastor Sonny Argazzoni, amen. So here this day, I'm real honored, amen, to be able to speak here this day. I want to welcome those that are online. We thank that you have logged on here this morning to be with us in our Sunday morning service, amen. Been on a series on the book of Nehemiah. The Lord has been speaking, giving us directions. I believe that within the season that we're in right now, and I believe it's real important that we listen real carefully if we want to be able to follow through carefully with what we have heard, amen. Too many times we don't hear the message we're hearing, but we're not listening. And so we walk out as if it was a message that was just supposed to be heard for the hour, but it's a message meant to be carried out, amen, by the many parts that make up the body of Christ. The word that you're going to be giving here this Sunday, it's a word meant to be carried out, not just listened to, amen? There's a big difference. That would almost be like you being at work and your boss comes to you with something fresh, something, a new direction for your job, what your job calls you to do, and you listen carefully, and then you don't go do it. It would be really dumb. The boss would say, "Why didn't you do it? I gave you instructions." You know, you do that a couple of times, enough times, should I say, and he will no longer, or she will no longer be needing you. And it's so much just like more even important with the word of the Lord that we not only hear it just to hear it, but that we hear God's word to be able to apply it so it can produce and do what he's calling it forth to do. Amen. There's never been nothing wrong with the incorruptible seed. You know, never, the error is found in the sower. You know, when God has given us all seed to sow, and the seed can come, but if it's never sown, that seed will never produce what has been called to produce. You can never even expect, you know, one plant, more or less the harvest. Amen. So we need to hear, amen. We need to hear the word, amen. And following through with the word is sowing the word, applying it, amen, so that it can produce what God has called it to produce. Amen? Amen. Those watching online, praise the Lord. Let's get started here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm not going to keep you that long. Amen. And the title of this morning's message is Servants Build. Servants build. It just is like saying, if you have a job, you work at your job. Amen? If you have a job, you go to work when you get to your job. I don't care what the job is. You got to put it to work. So in the same token, amen, if you are a servant of the Lord, he has called you to work. He has called you to work. Just as much as you show up this Monday at the workplace, your boss is going to expect you to work. Amen. Because employees go to work. Amen. They don't hang out. They go to work. That's what employees do. But servants, disciples of the Lord, amen, build. They build. Amen. And this is what Nehemiah was trying to accomplish in the building of the walls there around Jerusalem that were broken down, gates burned down. And he heard the bad news. Amen. He went to the Lord for 4 weeks, I believe. It was 4 weeks or 4 months. 4 months. 4 months he went to the Lord before the king would speak to him, and then the king would give him access to take that time of leave and go build the wall around Jerusalem. So here this day, I want us to walk away to know that if you claim to be a disciple of the Lord, a servant of the Lord, we build. We're building God's kingdom. Amen. And the Bible says that we are the many parts that make up his body. We are the body of Christ. Amen. And in order for this church to grow, we got to build. We got to be servants that know how to build. In order for any house to be, created, it's got to be built. Somebody's got to go to work in order to make somebody's house. And this is the house of the Lord, the temple of God. And what we're trying to produce, amen, is leading those that are lost and bound, as we were lost and bound at one time, unto Christ. So they can become disciples as well, amen, servants as well, amen, and can be taught how to build. So the more people we have building, amen, the quicker the work can be done, because how many know that we're living in end times right now? We're living in end times right now, and the time is ticking, amen. And we need to be those that are ready, those servants that are ready to build, amen. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. And this is Nehemiah speaking to the people, trying to encourage them. Amen. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild." This is the people now. "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you put me to the side, that you open hearts and minds, Lord Father God, and that you allow your people not only to listen, but to be listening, Lord Father God, in anticipating, Lord, to be able to build. To build correctly, Lord, to build what you want done. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here, Nehemiah was trying his best to convince the people, amen, because the walls of Jerusalem had been in ruin for a very, very, very long time. And here he was telling the people that the hand of God was upon his life, that the hand of God was upon his life. And not only was he saying that, but he also said that he had a conversation with the king that he worked for, that he was a cupbearer unto, amen? And after stating these two points to the people, amen, that the hand of God was upon him, and that he had had conversation with the king, amen. Then after this, the people replied. And the Bible records that they replied at once, "Yes, let us rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. Here, what Nehemiah was claiming to the people was that the hand of God was upon his life. Because the hand of God, as he was speaking about the hand of God, it represented a few things. It represented, for one, God's help. God's help. The hand of God also represented God's protection. And the hand of God also represented God's provision. Amen. So Nehemiah was telling the people that the hand of God was upon his life. Because in building this over 2.5 miles of wall around Jerusalem made out of rock was going to take, for one, the help of God. It couldn't be done without him. And two, it was going to take the protection hand of God as they would do the work. And three, it was going to call for a lot of provision to take place. Amen. I got a feeling my throat's going to be acting up today. Amen. It's already itching. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here we find that the hand of God, the protection of God, and that the provision of God was with Nehemiah. He was conveying to the people to encourage them that if the hand of God was with him, that it would also be with them as they would build what God wanted built. In this case, it was the wall. Not only that went around Jerusalem, but the temple of God, amen? And the king, after Nehemiah had stated the hand of God, he stated that he had a conversation with the king. And the king was the answered prayer of Nehemiah unto God, amen, that would bring the help. So Nehemiah would pray to God, and this was all being done spiritual. And he knew that the hand of God was upon his life, the help, the protection, the provision that comes from God. And then the king has a conversation with Nehemiah, and through this conversation, amen, God would use the king to be the person that would help Nehemiah in the building of this wall, that would send protection to Nehemiah to bring this to build the wall, and he would even give provision to Nehemiah to build the wall. So Nehemiah knew that God was with him. The hand of God was with him. But he couldn't remain there. God had to get somebody to bring to pass that his hand of help, protection, and provision was with the man of God, Nehemiah. So in order to confirm that, God would set up the king to be the help that Nehemiah needed, the protection that Nehemiah needed, and the material, the provision part of building the wall. So here Nehemiah was speaking to the people and says, the hand of God is not only upon me, but I got the king's favor. I got the king's favor. We got the protection that we need to build this wall. We got the provision of what we need to build this wall. But the third thing that was needed, and this is the toughie, was the people to build the wall. I believe here this Sunday morning, this season that we're in, we have everything we need to build the kingdom of God. I believe we can see that the hand of God is upon my life, upon our ministry worldwide, international, that God is with us.
We can see that he has protected us over all these years. We can see his hand of provision very clearly here this day. And I'm speaking as Nehemiah was speaking unto the people that day to convince them that God, the hand of God, was with him, that he had the provision. But even though he had the favor of God and of the king, he lacked one thing, and that was the builders. The people that were actually going to build the wall. The king stayed at his palace. He's going, Nehemiah, I'll go with you and help you build. He didn't say that. He stayed home. Too many Christians want to stay home now. It's kind of hard to build the temple of God staying home. Here we know that God has it all together. It was his hand, Nehemiah. Amen, was blasting about, was witnessing about. And the king, man, and I had it all together, but he had some stuff. He had finances, amen? He had a lot of provision. And then comes the people, you and I, that surely don't have it all together. Some of us might have some stuff, but we still need to come together to build what God has called us to build. And what we do is build broken lives. We bring them to the Lord because he's able to do all things. His hand is able to touch and cleanse and wash, sanctify, set free those that don't deserve his grace and mercy. So here Nehemiah was convincing the people once again that the hand of God was with him, that the king hooked him up. But now he needed some servants in order to build the wall that had been destroyed. And the problem with the people, the servants of Jerusalem, is that they have been weak for a long time now. They were used to living that way for a long, long time now. So the problem lied within the builders, the workers. And I believe still today within the church of today, amen, lies with the workers of few. The Bible says in Scripture that the harvest is plentiful, but that the workers are few. It amazes me that when we were running with the devil, we were working. I mean, we worked in the day, we worked in the night, in the cold, in the heat. It didn't matter what month of the year it was, what time of the day it was. I can pretty much say maybe that I know we got a few goody-goodies in here, but the majority knew how to go to work for the devil every day, didn't have to be told to. But it amazes me that we could be obedient servants to the work of the enemy under poor conditions, addiction and that and whatever else. And it amazes me when a man or a woman or a young adult gets saved in the right mind now, no longer in addiction, and don't want to do nothing for the kingdom of God. It amazes me. And I've heard many times, well, Pastor, I was under the influence. I mean, I was high when I was, you know, flying around. You know, I was drunk. I was under the influence. Well, I want to let you know I'm under the influence right now also. Amen. I'm loaded right now in Jesus. I'm under the influence that's kept me now for 25 years. Under the influence, clean and sober. But every day I wake up and how are we going to build the church? And we can talk about finances, but the main factor in growing the church is not the lack of finances, but the lack of workers. See, because if we have people, there's finances. It's nobody wants to go to work for the Lord. You don't have time. Because you're clean and sober now, you don't have time. You got a job now. A few people trust you now. I said a few. Don't get prideful. There's still some that you're working on to trust you, amen? And I put here in my notes, how many have ever been challenged by a message preached, your personal time with the Lord, saying something like, that's it. I'm going to start working on rebuilding the broken down walls of my life, my marriage, my family, the church. Or something happens within the man's life, a woman's life, a young adult's life that says, that's it, man. I've been coming to church already for too long, and I'm still at the same place. I haven't built nothing. Pastor's been preaching and preaching and preaching. I've been coming to church, but I haven't built nothing yet. There's times in your life when the timing of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will start to speak to you, saying something like, he's talking to you right now. He's talking about you. Why haven't you done nothing lately? I mean, aren't you excited about being clean and sober for the first time in your life? Aren't you excited about being trusted again? Aren't you excited about being married, having children, coming to church, and living properly in the right way, and being a law-abiding citizen? I believe sometimes we were more excited when we were lost and bound than being excited being saved by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Savior of our lives. Point, you're rebuilding God's to be connected to the church. What you're trying to accomplish, your breakthrough that you're trying to accomplish in your life needs to be connected to the church. It needs to be connected to the church. It needs to be connected to the carpenter, the one that is able to work it out, work anything out in your life, Jesus. What you're trying to accomplish in your breakthrough, in your rebuilding of your life, family, marriage, needs to be connected to Jesus, needs to be connected to the church. How many have already tried rebuilding on your own? I mean, you tried a lot of ways on how to get that personal breakthrough and breaking addiction, whatever it is. There's many things that the enemy uses way beyond addiction. And you tried many, many avenues. You've tried this, 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 and this. And you tried some over and over and over because it was working for somebody else. But it wasn't working for you. You were still in the same place. When you try to rebuild your life outside of Christ, it doesn't work. It won't work. With the best job, it won't work. You can't truthfully rebuild your life outside of Christ. Your heart will never change its condition outside of Christ. In rebuilding the broken down walls of your life, of your thinking, Christ needs to be connected to the plan that you have. He is the one that's able to go in and change your heart and change your thinking and bring favor to your life. Let someone else bring favor to your life. Let someone else notice you. Your rebuilding got to be connected to the church, to the Lord. Your rebuilding got to be connected to the church because many of us have already tried rebuilding on our own. It don't work. So I believe the tough area in getting people from the church to go to work for the Lord that already work is where the problem is. This is the point I want to bring across now to the church. I believe the problem of you guys going to work for the Lord, amen, is that you already have a all-day job. And by the time you get home, you're tired. Amen? I get it. Amen? By the time I get home today, I'm going to be tired. But it's tired of working unto the Lord. I call it a good tired. So Alberto's always saying, Pastor, I'm tired. This carpet cleaning is beating me up. Amen? And then he'll say, but it's a good tired. Because I start kind of looking at him with that look. And he said, but it's a good tired, Pastor. It's a good tired. What got you tired here this day? I'm so tired. I'm so tired. What gets you tired this morning? Some of you say, oh, I'm so tired. I ain't going to church this morning. But somehow or another, Jesus got you by your pajamas and got you out of bed. You thought you got here because you're so good. You weren't coming today. You were not going to come to church today. Why? Because you were tired. Tired, I'm tired. I'm tired, I'm tired. How many say that throughout the day? I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I don't want to hear it right. I'm tired. I'm tired. Just want to be left alone. I'm tired. Oh, my legs are killing me. I'm tired. So my question is, what you tired about? What have you built unto the Lord that got you so tired? Because you can come home from work, working all day, and be tired. So I say, if you're going to be tired for working unto the Lord. Amen. Be tired because the Lord is with you. The favor of the Lord is with you. The provision of the Lord is with you. We're going to be tired, church. There's no such thing as never being tired. Don't let tired be the answer that allows you not to be a servant, a builder of the Lord. Boy, when I was running with the devil, I never said I was tired. I never said I was tired, man. I was rocking and rolling. I was too busy to say I was tired. But it's funny how the body speaks to us. When we're tired, we want to shut down. You see, we got to get beyond our strength, get beyond what we can do. I always say when you're nice and fresh all the time, that you're operating under your power, your protection, your provision. But when you're all beat up, nice and beat up and tired, every day, You're tired. To the place where you tap into where many barely ever get to experience tapping in beyond your power. See, you can't tap into God's power until your power is out of the way, until your strength is out of the way. And Apostle Paul says his best. I believe he had some easy days, but he also says that he had some days where he had to press in, where it just wasn't going to come to him, where everything just wasn't going to happen the way it was supposed to. But he says, I press in towards the mark. He would press into what God had for his life, for the simple mere fact that he was still puzzled why God would choose him. And he wanted to find out why God chose him. And he knew in order to find out, he had to go forward in life. He had to go forward in Christ. His life, his work, his building, his servanthood had to be connected to Jesus. In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 8, this is the message here, right here. A lot of reason, the main reason why people don't get connected to the church and go to work for the church is because they work all day. They work all day already. Let's see, they're working at the wall here right now, amen. And the Bible reads in verse 8, next was Uzziel, son of Hariah. And the Bible says, a goldsmith by trade. A goldsmith by trade, who also worked on the wall. In other words, he had a job, and it wasn't putting rock and building walls. His job wasn't building rock walls. The Bible says he was a goldsmith by trade. That he had a J-O-B job, and he was a goldsmith by trade, the Bible says, who also worked on the wall. See, you don't have to have it all together, a resume, to come and start getting connected to the church and partaking of what God has for your life. And then it goes on to say that beyond him was Hananiah. He had a job also. He was a manufacturer of perfumes. That would almost be like a girl working in the mall at Victoria's or something, at the perfume department. And after she got out of work, she'd put them blue jeans and boots on and strap herself with a sword and a hammer and was ready to go to work for the kingdom of God. We come to find out that one of the workers that worked on the wall was a goldsmith by trade. We come to find out that the other individual was a manufacturer of perfumes. Amen? They had jobs. They weren't wall builders. And the Bible says that they worked on the wall, who also worked on the wall. And I believe why many don't get connected to the church is because they go to work, they're tired, and they plan for the next day to go to work and come home tired. To plan to go to work and come home tired. There's that AA saying, are you not yet sick and tired of being sick and tired? AA says that. It has a partial truth to it. Amen? But it won't change your life. I recall in Salinas when I got saved, I always had a job and I was at the church every day working. Every day. Hard labor work. Every day, I would work 8 hours, some days 12, 14 hours, and go to the church till dark every single day. Something within me would draw me to the house of God or to the rehab home to see what I could help with. At one time, I was working at a gas station. I wasn't no church boy. I know nothing about working unto the Lord. Next job, I was a striper. I was a foreman for striping. Then I worked at a printing press place. Had nothing to do with church wisdom. Then the last job I had there, I was a landscaper. I had some big jobs out there in California. But yet somehow or another, I was that goldsmith. I was that manufacturer of perfumes. I didn't have a clue when I walked in the doors of what to do in the church. And I believe that's why a lot never get connected. Because you feel out of place into the house of God. You look back on your past as saying, how could God ever want to use a girl like me, a guy like me? Why would God even consider using me with all that I have done in life? And we automatically, you know, build this wall that we don't fit in, and that's why we don't get connected to the church in the rebuilding of our broken lives. But I remember those a time, not just for me, but for you as well, when we tried smoking our first cigarette. It didn't fit. Sticking around and just coughing and coughing. I remember the first time I tried Big Red. In Texas, the big pouch is chewing tobacco, amen? So me and my buddy, I don't know where we got it from, the big old bag of Big Red it was called. We got something, we put it in our mouth, and we took off on the bicycles, not thinking nothing. Within minutes, we're all over the place, crashing on the bikes. Big Red took us out. You know, we didn't know the rules about spitting it out and Big Red this and that. I remember the first time drinking beer, you know, drinking way beyond what my body could handle and looking into a toilet many, many times. It didn't fit. My head fit in the toilet, but it didn't fit. Why would we call it partying to end up in a toilet? That's if you were lucky. That was a good night party, making it home. It didn't fit. The first time I tried heroin, I was throwing up all over the place. The second time I tried heroin, I was throwing up all over the place. My body was rejecting it. It didn't fit in my life. But because everybody was doing and I wanted to try something new, I kept doing and doing until I fell in love with it. Now my body would be sick if I didn't have it. See, in the beginning, it didn't fit. But because I kept doing and doing it, my lifestyle of addiction, of partying, all of a sudden, man, it was fun. It was party time. It fit. It fits so good at the end that I was doing it 7 days a week. So when I entered fresh out of prison into the church, and I'm all posted up in the church in the back row with my sugar mama, it didn't fit. My life did not fit in the church. It didn't fit. But I thank God I did what I did in the world. I came back next week. And it still didn't fit. I thank God that I did what I did in the world with heroin. I tried church again. It still didn't fit. I thank God that I did what I did in the world, amen. When I drank, I went and drank again, even though I got sick. And I came to church, and it still didn't fit. And I kept coming to church, and I kept coming to church, and I kept coming to church. I started connecting my life to Christ and building the temple of God. And before you know it, my life fit in the church. The call of God came upon my life in the church. It didn't happen at the job place. It happened in the church where God would speak to my life, transform my life, and with time would be able to use my life. But it started off not fitting because I was of the world. I was not of the church, but I kept coming and I kept coming. My Pastor Hurd's famous saying was, just keep coming, just keep coming, just keep coming. Because it just takes one service, a minute of God speaking a word into your heart saying, that's it. It's time for me to build and do it God's way. I'm tired building. I'm tired of working overtime and still being in the same place, in the same rut. I want something to change within my life. I don't want to own more stuff. I want something to change within my life. And then God will start saying, not only change your life, but then he'll start speaking how he wants to use your life. Not just to change your life, but how he wants to use your life. And that don't fit. Helping people when we were turned, I was turning people out. But now I turn people out for Jesus. I try to do my best in convincing you with preaching the gospel. That God is with me. He has been with me for 25 years. Through the thick and thin, the ups and downs. Many surgeries, many things have gone on in my life, not only in the world, but in Christ. But the hand of God is upon my life. So I continue to preach the gospel and be convinced if God did it for me, he can do it for those viewing online, for those here this day. He can change your life where doing Christ all of a sudden fits. Where you'll one day wake up after coming to church for a while and say, this is the new me. This is who I really am. All those years I lived out there was a person that I wasn't even. I have finally found me in finding Christ. This is who I really am. I'm not that party animal. I'm not that girl that leaves with anybody from the club. I'm a woman of God. I'm a man of God. And no matter what your past is about, God is able to cleanse you. He's able to wash you, to sanctify you as if you never did nothing wrong all your entire life. Because that's what the hand of God is able to do when it rests upon your life as it did upon Nehemiah. Nehemiah knew that the hand of God was upon his life. He was sure of it. The proof was that the king brought all provision, all protection, all everything he needed when he prayed to the Lord. So he was convincing the people that the hand of God was upon him. He had a connection with the king. He was trying to convince the people it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. Tell the person sitting next to you, it's time to go to work for Jesus. So the Bible here in verse 8 talks about two guys. One was a goldsmith by trade, and the other cat manufactured perfumes. And they were both working at the wall, even though they had a job. That's the point of the message today. Was that goldsmith and perfume manufacturer tired? Yep, they were tired. But as sure as the hand of God was upon Nehemiah, it was now upon them. Now them going to work had purpose. It was way beyond punching in and punching out. It had purpose. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20 says, I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. Remember, servants build. I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. In other words, you're not going to succeed outside of Christ, people. You can go to work, have some stuff, but inside it's still going to be the old stuff. The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. We all need God to succeed, I put here in my notes. You can keep going without Christ. You can come to church and still be outside of Christ. A lot have done it, and a lot have never got results because they're still not working unto the Lord. My last point in closing, finishing early today. I put here, servants of the Lord do not only build for self, but for others. This goldsmith could have stayed home. This manufacturer of the perfumes, he could have stayed home. He already went to work. But servants of the Lord that are connected to the church, not only personally succeed in their lives, but they build for others to succeed. They build for others to be successful. That's my job. To build people to be successful in Christ. As we stand this day, worship team, please. If you work too long for self, it can become very selfish job that you're working at. All the job and the check can see is you. But when you're connected to the church and the Lord and work unto the Lord, all of a sudden your focus from self starts to shift in looking at others' condition. We're here to help one another. We all have something to contribute here this day. And you don't have to be a perfect fit. You don't have to be the perfect fit here this morning. You just got to be a willing fit. Somebody willing here this day. You don't have to have it all together because God already has that department taken care of. You don't have to even own a vehicle because there's a few in the church that do. You just need to be willing to be a servant that's willing to build what God is wanting built. To be able not only to allow us to succeed, but to allow the lost and the bound to succeed by watching us. You got to go beyond who you are to become Christ-like. You got to go beyond who you are to become Christ-like and to be used of God. Many people never get past self because self has so many plans. Self has become so selfish. They never get past self. So they never can be there for somebody else because self is still trying to figure out self. Whatever the song is, love. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. You just find a place, close your eyes. And allow the Lord to challenge you. Just tell him, here I am, Lord. I want to build in a different way now. I want to build what you want built. I'm tired of building what I want to build, because every time I build, it fails. Use me What I try to do always fails. But here this day, Lord, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to build what you want built. I'm going to take you at your word here this day.